there seems to be a nationwide outcry for personal finance education in the schools. In just 4 short years, we have seen an increase of high schools go from 8 states jump up to 26 states that now require a personal finance class for graduation. Many of us may remember home economics, welding, or shop classes. We may have nostalgia around our language arts classes where we learned how to write cursive. Even though some of those mandatory classes are gone, will this new push for financial literacy be the boost we need to see for America to become a contender around the world of business? In this episode, we'll explain the bill that was recently passed by Governor Gavin Newsom in California as a benchmark for these policies. We'll discuss the future implications and how you can prepare yourself and your kids for a future where taxes may not be a foreign language anymore. All this and more on this episode of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things. Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. I'm a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience helping Christians and non-Christians create financial plans. And today, we're talking about financial literacy. I was on LinkedIn and I saw a post where a lady said that literacy is at an all-time low in our classrooms. And then I thought to myself, is this true? You know, these kids nowadays, it does seem like maybe they don't read as much as we do. Maybe I'm just kind of self-centered. So what I did some research. Come to find out that global literacy is actually a new thing. For thousands of years, a majority of society didn't know how to read and write. They were illiterate. We also see some global biases. People in the East, over there in China and some of those Eastern countries, they have a higher literacy rate than over here in the West. And that's fine. But what my point is that we are growing as a society as far as people who can read and write and contribute to our economy. And I think that is a great thing. Now, do I think it's where it needs to be? No, because we have so much access to information that we can learn how to read. We have online courses, Hooked on Phonics, all type of things to help you read and write at a high level. Also, the number of literate people have increased overall and our ability to think and to apply discernment. Years ago in the 1950s, this number was actually pretty low. So grandma and grandpa may not be as literate as we thought they were, but they still made it. And I still think it's possible to make it without having a very high level of literacy. But I also think that we are growing beyond just reading and writing. Illiteracy years ago used to be the inability to read and write. I think in this decade, a quote says that the new literacy is our ability to learn, unlearn, and relearn. And I couldn't agree more, because with new information coming out constantly and at the tip of our fingers, we have to understand that everything that we hear and everything that we see may not be the truth. Now, let's talk about the facts of this proposal that was recently signed. With this proposal, California became the 26th state to require a personal finance course for high school graduation, with Governor Gavin Newsom signing AB 2927 in late June. No, I'm not related to the bill, but it sounds nice. I wish it was named after me. In the first article approved by the governor, June 29, 2024, and filed with the Secretary of State in the same day, in the Legislative Council Digest, it states, existing law requires a pupil to complete designated coursework while in grades 9 to 12, inclusive, in order to receive a diploma of graduation from high school. These graduation requirements include, among others, the completion of 3 courses in social studies, including a 1-semester course in economics. This bill would add the completion of a separate, standalone 1-semester course in personal finance that is prohibited from being combined with any other course to the graduation requirements, commencing with pupils graduating in 2030 to 31 school year, including for pupils enrolled in a charter school. The bill would authorize commencing with pupils graduating in 2030 to 31 school year, including for pupils enrolled in a charter school, a pupil who completes a separate standalone 1-semester course in personal finance that is not combined with any other course, to elect to be exempt from the graduation requirement to complete a 1-semester course in economics. The bill would require a local educational agency including charter schools, to offer in all of its high schools a separate, standalone, one-semester course in personal finance that is not combined with any other course commencing with the 2027-28 school year as provided. By imposing new duties on local educational agencies, this bill would impose a state-mandated local program. Whew, that is deep, and that's just the first article. Right? But to briefly sum it up, the law requires districts to offer a standalone semester-long course in personal finance at every high school starting in around 2027 to 28. The measure was backed by California State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tommy Thurmond, who will also lead the content and structure of the new curriculum requirement. Now, this requirement is not the end-all say-all. This one semester is not going to skyrocket your child into some type of financial guru. This is just going to be an introduction, maybe just some basic terms like what's a checking account, what's a savings account. We have to understand these are still children. They're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old at this point, and we are really just trying to make sure that finances is not a foreign language to them, because that is going to be the bloodline that's going to help them survive in this cruel and unusual world. Now, parents still need to get involved, especially if you're financially illiterate yourself. Now, you have more experience. You may have to deal with your mortgage and your auto loans and your insurances and your taxes. And you may be familiar with some terms, but it's necessary that you get involved with some of these classes because there may be some basic things that maybe you weren't introduced to. Maybe there are some ways that you could do things better. As a financial planner, I see this all the time. Even though you have a mortgage, you may be paying a higher rate and you potentially could refinance to save you some money, but you don't know about refinancing. You don't know what an interest rate is. You don't know the difference between APY and APR. All those things are going to affect how you manage your money. And it's only one course. So just because you take one course of Spanish doesn't mean you will become fluent, right? You could say, hola, ¿cómo estás? Muy bien, right? You could say, tengo buen día, si Dios te bendiga. You know, mira una quesería con carne asada. You can say those things, but that doesn't mean you're going to be able to go to Mexico or Spain and be able to fluently live a life of a native. The same thing with this personal finance course. Just because you're going through this course doesn't mean that you're going to be fully capable once you get out into the real world. So what we're going to need follow-up education. This is simply just planting the seeds for growth so our children have something to cultivate and not get out in that free world abandoned and all alone. Now, from my own personal experience, I think they should start with taxes first and then start with budget. For some reason, we like budget, where it's like, this is where you save. This is where you put your money. This is the percentage that you take out of your check. This is what a dollar costs. This is what compound interest is. Like, forget all that. Right? Let's start with the big stuff, the big boys, such as taxes. You get a better tax cut when you're married and filing jointly. This is going to encourage people to settle down and get married. I mean, too much time I see this rhetoric online about how bad marriage is and it's a lose-lose situation. It's just a sheet of paper. Well, according to taxes, you need that sheet of paper to save yourself some paper, right? You have a lot less expenses when you are married. And the reason is because they see that as stability. When you have two incomes, if one loses their job, you have a backup income. If you are single, they see that as a higher risk. Okay. So when we're talking about taxes, talking about write-offs, we're talking about reductions, deductions, and different tax credits that you may be eligible for, that's going to be great. And I'm not saying they need a whole tax course, but maybe just briefly show them how to look up tax codes and how to look up what benefits them in their situation. Get them familiar with IRS.gov. If you haven't been to IRS.gov, I think that you should go there. Look at the site. Don't be afraid of the IRS. The IRS is not the boogeyman. There are so many loopholes and ways that you can reduce your tax implication if you go and research. Don't be reactive, be proactive, because there are just so many things that you could take advantage of. If we just knew them, we wouldn't have to complain when other people do it before us. The California Council on Economic Education said it was thrilled Newsom signed the new requirement into law and that it was hugely consequential for our nation. However, the organization expressed disappointment that students would be able to substitute a personal finance course for pre-existing economic requirements. as, quote, economics prepares students to improve all decisions, not simply those that pertain to finance. I don't really like that, right? Because when you go to college, you're going to take an economics course. How about we really keep what's already there? Yes, you can learn about economics. Yes, you can learn about supply and demand. You can learn about inflation, things that affect the economy, all that fun stuff. But we're talking about things that work. People listen to this podcast because I'm talking about things that work. I'm talking about your checking account. I'm talking about your savings account. I'm talking about looking at your interest rate. I'm talking about your credit card. I'm talking about your mortgages. I'm talking about your auto loans. I'm talking about things that are practical that you can apply today to help save you money and construct a financial plan that actually works for you and your family. Okay? Financial education works. Okay? A 2014 study published by the Federal Reserve found students who had a financial education requirement had higher relative credit scores and lower relative delinquency rates than those in states without such a requirement. According to a study by Intuit, a financial software company that we all know, 85% of 2,000 high school students randomly surveyed in March 2024 said they were interested in learning about financial issues in school. And 95% of those who learned about finance reported finding the curriculum helpful. Students said they would primarily like to learn about how to become wealthy, save money, and avoid debt. Now, is this a surprise to anybody? You know, our children are going on social media, they're going on to Instagram and TikTok, and people are teaching them how to be rich, how to be famous, how to have the car, how to be a high value man, or how to be a high value woman. But they're not giving them the information without selling them a dream. This is the foundation they need to listen to build the wealth that they really want to have. These kids are hungry for knowledge. They want to know how to be wealthy, but they need to learn how to do it the right way, because if not, they're going to go to the streets. If we don't teach them in our own household, they're going to go to the next guru or the next person with a camera that's able to articulate themselves and show a random picture of a nice car or a pretty lady and get our kids trapped and going down a path they don't need to go down. And I don't want you to see that. So we need to feed these kids while they're hungry, because they're going to find alternatives to get the money one way or another. Let's teach them the right way. Now, this is a step in the right direction, but what do you think? What type of information should a high school student learn to be prepared for the world? Is your state one of the 26, or is your state still behind and you need to push them in the right direction? Let me know in the comments how you feel and what are some of the things you can do to help your child and grandchildren become successful. If you want to plan for your retirement and all of your money is in your savings account, you have to check out this podcast. High Yield Saving Accounts Won't Save You from Working in Retirement. It's episode number 291. We go over savings accounts, how if you don't make a change, you may not be sitting on a beach in retirement, but in a cubicle, because you'll be forced to go back to work due to lack of money. You know, you're going to end up working, retiring, and then going back to work, then die. This is not what we want. We want to retire and we want to stay retired. So be sure to subscribe, like, and comment. Also, if you need help with your finances, schedule a consultation with us. A link to the website will be in the description. Well, my name is AB Ridgway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.